There you go, Kenny.
Thank you, Stiz.
Ken's favorite one-hit wonder.
You can't turn this off. If it comes on, it stays on.
It is kind of a vibe.
It's the Shawshank of music.
It's catchy. You can't deny that, Rich.
It's fine. This is a fine song. This is like a Toad the Wet Sprocket song. It's like tonic.
Come on.
It's a shot.
Toad the Wet.
As I said, they're good songs and they're on, but I'm not going to buy their album. You know, it's like when Vertical Horizon comes on, I'm like, cool.
I mean, your Aha song comes on, I fall asleep. I mean, it's just, this is an upbeat. This gets you going.
I mean,
take on the night.
I don't know, man. Aha's, that's a catchy song, man.
Yeah, take on me after all these years is still great.
It's really good.
It's still excellent. All right, 617-779-7937 is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson. And you can give us a call, 93.7 WEEI. We are in the Catches Law Injury Attorney Studio. No fee unless you win. Also, launch a take grenade. We'll play your messages in the 5 o'clock hour. Just go to the Odyssey app, press that microphone, and we play those later on. That was the voice of Tracy McGrady. Tracy McGrady, who is a good buddy of Jaylen Brown. And, you know, I said this when the trade happened, and I still believe it. I think there were basketball reasons for getting rid of Jaylen Brown. What pissed me off was that because you got crap for him, you did not need to trade him. There was no rush. Paul George wasn't going anywhere. I believe that you could have kept him around for another year and it wouldn't have changed anything. But apparently it seems like it was combustible and now they're all gone. So now we take a look at not only what's going on with the Celtics and their totally jacked coach, Joe Mazzulla.
Don't rip on Mazzulla. He's going to come in here and get you in the dojo.
Like, okay.
Every offseason, he does something like this.
Who here was the most shocked? Who was shocked when Joe Mazzulla took his shirt off in that video and was absolutely jacked?
I knew he fought, and I knew he loved MMA and jiu-jitsu. I didn't know he was that jacked.
Somebody said it. I saw somebody say, this is who Dwight Schrute thinks he was. Joe Mazzulla is like kind of a nerd and he talks about dojos and stuff like that and like uses all this philosophy, but the guy actually seems like he can fight.
Yeah, and again, I said it yesterday, but I'm happy knowing that my coach will beat the F out of your coach. 100%.
I can't think of another coach that could do it.
I want to, you know, beat him mentally, not physically.
And players do like him. I mean, I don't love his 3-point philosophy, if that indeed is him and not Brad Stevens who's driving
it's
that.
Him, I think.
You think it's Mazzulla?
I think it might. They're both on the same page. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
They're both on the same page with that.
So I'm thinking less now about the Celtics because I think the Celtics are going to be very good. They're going to be very good. Are they going to be as good as they were without Jaylen Brown? I don't think so. But they're going to be very good. They're a good team. And I think it frees up Jason Tatum to become someone who can ascend to the next level the same way Jaylen Brown did. As long as he comes back healthy, great. I've said this before, I don't even imagine this team with Paul George. He's not even a player on the Celtics, as far as I'm concerned. The guy's old, you know, who knows how much time he's going to get. To me, if he's healthy and gets out there, it's just gravy.
But that's a problem. You traded Jaylen Brown for Paul George.
It's
you're saying he's
trade.
Not going to play.
It's an awful trade.
So you're worse.
Well, you're worse, but you did do two things that you needed. You needed to get a legit big man in there, and you did with Mitchell Robinson. And I think Ted agrees with me, is that that was a team that was missing some sort of veteran presence. A guy who was like a Drew Holiday or like an Al Horford who could be the adult in the room. And there's really not many better people you could have gotten than Mike Conley Jr. He's not going to play that much, but my God, he every year gets that award for being like the best dude in the NBA, whatever that is, like nicest guy. And the players love him and they respect him. And he just seems like a guy that winning finds him. So that part of it's good. But as I said, it's not even the Celtics I'm thinking about. I'm looking at this new Sixers team and that report right there where Tracy McGrady, best buddy of Jaylen Brown, is saying that he hasn't even reached out to Joel Embiid and Joel Embiid hasn't even reached out to him. I keep thinking about this. Like, imagine making a huge trade. Imagine if the Celtics got like a huge player, like a guy whose name was in the conversation for MVP. Like, let's say it's like, you know, SGA. I'm just throwing that out there. And he was coming to the Celtics. Could you imagine what people would be saying if SGA had not reached out to Jason Tatum yet?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'd be like, are you kidding me?
Now, there was some damage control. Somebody was like, oh, they did talk. Probably somebody from the Sixers PR staff was like, they've talked. That's not true or something. But it certainly sounds like if they've talked, it's been brief.
You know, oh, yeah.
It was Tyler Hero and Bam talking. You know?
Right. They talk with their fists. So I think that there is a large chance that Sixers team can implode because you have so many alphas and not enough ball between all of them. when you've got Joel Embiid, who is the guy, and then you've got Tyrese Maxey, who is becoming the guy, and then you've got a dude coming in who wants to prove everybody wrong that his value is higher than this Paul George trade indicated, then you're going to have a situation where you're going to, I don't know how you can possibly function when it's like that. And it's the Sixers. They're a loser organization. I don't know if they're going to be able to handle this well. However, there is one thing that might end up being the turd in the punch bowl for the Celtics. And this is it. Stiz, can you play that clip from Shams? Let's take a listen.
Malika, last time me and you shared the screen together, you were out there in Wimbledon, out in London, yeah. And we were breaking into a major program to discuss LeBron James deciding to leave the Lakers after 8 years to then play elsewhere for a historic 24th NBA season. At the time, I remember I told you my reporting was Cleveland, Miami, and Golden State were the three leaders for him. And now that you're stateside, some things have changed. Some things are still the same. Okay. Those three teams are still in it. The Sixers have since acquired Jaylen Brown. Minnesota, we know, already got LaMelo Ball. They are also two of the teams that are involved. But my understanding is right now, as we speak, LeBron James has the information that's needed to make a decision. It's decision time right now for LeBron James. Team presidents, GMs, they're all talking to Rich Paul here again this week. They've made all their pitches. LeBron James has listened to multiple voice notes delivered to him by Rich Paul from other owners and presidents from teams that are trying to give him their best pitch. And the feel is that those five teams remain in the mix, but a focus on Cleveland, Miami, and Philadelphia. And he's made it clear he wants to be a part of a team where he has a chance to compete for a championship, a new team environment and culture he can be a part of. But the reason that this
That's all I need to hear. So Philadelphia is one of the teams that he's considering.
I would love that.
I can't stand LeBron. You know that. Unless he's a Celtic, of course, then he's the greatest. But I can't stand the guy. If he goes to Philly, that's bad news for the Celtics. Because I have a feeling all of those three who couldn't get along and all of those three who think they're alphas, LeBron James shows up. There's an alpha.
Teddy,
everyone knows.
Teddy, why would you love it?
I think they'd just go down in a blaze of glory. I think it'd be just dysfunction from the get go. I think
Teddy woke up and chose violence.
I think the egos, everybody's pulling in different directions. It just would be, to me, a dumpster fire.
Do you think that? Because I have a little bit of a different opinion. I think that LeBron comes in and everybody, including Joel Embiid, steps back and goes, "You're the guy. All right, well, now we know who's in charge. You're the one. Show us how to win." Because, I mean, none of these guys, Jalen's won before, but, I mean, even he's stepping back and going, "LeBron, dude, you're the guy." Now, what it does do is it makes the ultimate villain. I mean, in the East, you want to talk about a team that the Celtics are going to get amped for every single game all over the NBA. You're going to look at that team because that is the new version of a super team. You know, because with this whole salary thing and the shelf, you know, we've had eight different champions over 8 years. You can't make the teams like you used to. But the Sixers found a way to do it.
Think LeBron's smart enough to see that possibility? I mean, I do think he wants to chase Jordan and the titles, so it matters where he goes. He wants to go to the place where he thinks he can win. Philadelphia's not that for all the reasons you just listed. Why would he choose that?
You know, I heard Charles Barkley say something about why he doesn't respect LeBron's championships as much as Michael's. And he said, because LeBron stacks his teams. And he said, "I don't think I'm the only one who thinks that. I think there's a lot of people, you know, who've played the game before who don't think that LeBron earned it the way that Michael did." And I wonder if he's hearing that talk. And if that's the case, maybe he would stay away from a place like the Sixers. I just don't know how it adds to your legacy to go back to one of the two cities that you've already won in, like Miami or Cleveland.
But I think Cleveland, though, first of all, it's his hometown. Everybody can kind of get behind that and say, "Oh, that makes sense. He would go full circle." And they are a team that needs something to get them over the hump. Like, they're missing that heart or that X factor. I mean, they were in the conference finals, but they're not close to being, nobody thinks they're an NBA favorite. So if he goes back and wins, you don't think that's impressive?
No, it's impressive that he wins, but it's even more impressive to say that every team I went to, I won a championship.
So it's just some new team.
Right. Yeah, it's some new team. And especially like a team, when was the last time that the Sixers won? Was it early 80s? Like 83 or something like that? Yeah, so I mean, it's a huge story. He's probably looking at what's going on in New York and like, "Oh, it's been so long." And everyone, Brunson basically could, you know, a run for Lord of New York, and he would win. And I think that LeBron sees that, and he sees the respect that he could get if he goes to a new city and wins another championship. And to be quite honest, that to me is more impressive on paper, is that you went to every different city. You went to, what would it be, four different cities? Mm-hmm. And you won a championship at every one? Hell yeah.
Now, but Jaylen Brown, this is a couple years ago at the Summer League, but saying, I don't think Bronny is a pro. I know they're supposedly
over that. It's so
that
great.
That has to stick. I mean, if somebody ripped your kid, you wouldn't forget it, even if they apologized, right?
What, he went to war with Stephen A. over Bronny.
Yeah.
What am I missing, though? You also got to think about what's he going to want for a salary. If you're telling me he wants minimum salary, okay, but Joel Embiid's making $58 million. Jaylen Brown, $58 million. Tyrese Maxey, $40 million. They're currently $57 million over the cap.
He doesn't care. According to reports, he wants a championship. He does not care how much he gets paid. And he's already, apparently, according to Shams, said that that's one of the teams he wants to play for.
He's going to Cleveland. Rich is calling me Kalshi Ken. 41%. Cleveland is the favorite right now at Kalshi.
Boring.
I know it's boring. I know you don't like it because of that. Because
I think Miami would have been
Philly.
Cool.
You want the Death Star. But
no, I actually don't want Philly because I think that I want to watch Jaylen Brown and Maxey and Joel just implode. Like, that's what I want to see. Because it will. Like, I couldn't write it down. Today is the day I predict that whole thing is going to implode. The first 2 months, there's going to be people calling and saying, Rich, you're an idiot. Look at how good they are. They're dominating.
Yeah,
like, statistically, one of the best teams. And then January and February, you're going to watch. You're in those dead months when it did the mid-season basketball, when they just the travel sucks and it's not as fun and the mid-season tournament's over. You know,
like, it's the NBA Cup. Thank you.
Yes, that's when they're gonna just like just turn on each other.
You're wrong on two things. We have two bets now. I think Messi beats Brunson for best athlete. That's
the worst
tonight.
Bet. What are we betting? Because I'll bet anything. I'll bet my left nut. That well, there's Jesus. No that Jaylen Brunson.
I'm not matching that.
He's got two. So.
I'm not matching. We'll come up with something a little more palatable.
Sure.
And I think the Sixers are going farther than the Celtics. And I'll tell you one thing about LeBron. He better decide this week because people have had it. This cannot go on like all summer. How long is he dragging this out
this
for?
This is where LeBron does.
Make a freaking decision.
Yeah, I hear you. You know what's fine? Real quick, to find interesting is that the 76ers have a new manager, general manager.
Yep.
He's been there since June 4th, and this guy's making big deals. Who comes in?
Who is this?
Mike Gansey.
Great job.
Mike Gansey, 43 years old. He spent 15 seasons with the Cleveland Cavaliers. He was hired on June 4th, and he's making these kinds of moves. That's pretty ballsy, man.
Somebody on text says, yeah, but we have optionality.
There we go.
That's all you need,
baby. Brad just gifted this guy. He just left a present on the doorstep. Here's Jaylen for nothing.
Absolutely. That's all you need. 617-779-7937. Not going anywhere. Back in 2 minutes, it looks like the Red Sox might actually go all in. There's some reports that say that they are being encouraged and they are making phone calls. We will get to that right after this.